My name is Camilla Belen. I am 14 years old. Today is, what day is it? November 26, 2018. I'm speaking with Peter Eschrick, who is my grandfather, and we're recording this over the phone while I'm in McKinney, Texas, and he's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. All right. Yeah, wasn't it? All right, so first question is, how was it like growing up in the 50s?
I had nothing to compare it with, so it seemed pretty good to me.
Try it with, like, so when were you born?
1947.
Well, that cancels out the 40s.
I didn't start growing up until the 50s. From 47 to 1950, I was pretty inert.
All right, how were the 60s then?
They were different. The 60s was a radical period in the U.S., and I lived in a radical part of the country, in the San Francisco Bay Area in Berkeley. I didn't know it at the time, but the major rock bands that were sweeping the country were actually on a side street on my way to high school. So the Grateful Dead and Jefferson Airplane and all those guys were just 100 yards off the road from my route to high school, and I didn't even know who they were. I was involved in the great folk music scare of the 1960s. And so I only listened to folk music and bluegrass.
That explains a lot.
And what else can I say? How many years ago? On November 22nd, while I was in sophomore Spanish class, John F. Kennedy was assassinated.
Ooh.
So that's the day we remember. We were in the middle of the Cold War. We had drills in grammar school to get under the desk in case a nuclear bomb went off. Like that was going to help. People were building bomb shelters. In the 50s, before I was aware of it, but later in high school I did reports on it and learned about it, was the McCarthy era, when right-wing guy trying to remember what his first name was, Senator McCarthy held hearings, anti-communist hearings, and basically through lies and innuendo created a massive hysteria about communists, and put a lot of good people who had liberal views out of work because he claimed they were communists and there was no way to disprove it. So, interesting political times, and the country was changing. Next question.
That was a 4-minute long answer to one question. Wow, okay. Okay. What are the differences from then and now?
Oh, too many to enumerate. obvious ones are in technology. My first memories of a telephone, even though we were in a fairly rich neighborhood north of San Francisco, is that we had a party line telephone. Telephone landline, as we would call it now. It had a real dial on it. I think we had two phones in the household. And you had to make sure that one of your neighbors wasn't on the phone first when you picked it up, if you were going to use it. And we got our own private line after a while. We had a television, but it used an antenna, and we were in a valley, and you couldn't get any reception, so you got to see lots of static and not a whole lot of shows. A computer, we'd heard about the invention of one, but it wasn't for another 30 years before the idea of having a computer in your house was possible.
When was the 30 years?
First computers, personal computers came out, I think, in the, can't remember when it was, maybe 78, 82. The IBM PC was 1982. So 1980 and from then on. I got to use them at work in the early 80s. And then in 1984, I got the first computer for our house. Cell phones were a lot later. Video games were Pong. I think that was the most exciting video game. So technology changed an incredible amount. I remember, I always tell about my first use of a computer in graduate school. You could see the lights flashing on the computer as it would go through each iteration of a loop to add up numbers. And you could watch it go, oh, there, added a number, there, added another number, there, added another. So technology's changed an enormous amount. Social norms have changed an awful lot, although I'm not sure I could explain that or come up with good descriptions of it. Haircuts changed a lot. in the 50s, every guy would have a crew cut, and all of the girls had long hair. All the girls wore dresses that never wore pants. You certainly wouldn't wear shorts to school.
I still don't think that's something you would typically do unless it's hot.
Anyway. What else? I think I'd heard from friends or somebody that there was something called a gay person. Although they were called queers. But nobody ever knew one. And it was certainly was hidden, as was any if you had some kind of, or if you had a relative who had any kind of mental illness, you certainly wouldn't let the neighbors know about anything like that, or that they had been to see a psychiatrist. What other things were completely different? Interracial marriage was extremely rare.
Was it?
In the 1950s, yes. Even in northern states, races were, blacks and whites were pretty strongly segregated. Not in the north, it wasn't by law, it was by subtle, how would I say it, realtors. People who sold homes just wouldn't sell a home to a black family that was in a white neighborhood. It was subtle, There were no equal housing laws. Even the equal rights, well, the whole Equal Rights Amendment and making it illegal to discriminate based on race, that constitutional amendment had not even passed yet. Hadn't even the Civil Rights Acts, Martin Luther King, et cetera. All of that was later in the 60s. So enormous changes in, you could say, politics and social standards and acceptance of people as who they are. A lot of things changed. And there are plenty of conservatives who think that that's a bad thing and that we should really go back to that. I don't happen to agree.
Yeah, that'd be a wonderful time.
I can remember that during the civil rights demonstrations, the civil rights workers going into the South, where it was formally segregated, and the violence that was happening to them, I was afraid to even consider driving through the South. Even in 1969, driving from San Francisco to New Jersey, I was made a conscious decision that I wasn't going to drive through the South because I felt nervous about it. Because I was a long-haired hippie, my hair was at least 2 inches long, I would be targeted. I felt I would be targeted if I went through the South. I think that was probably completely paranoid and false at that time, but the lingering stories, true stories, which you can see in some documentary movies now, had a distinct impression on me. At that time, I didn't know anything about Texas other than it was big. I think I may have driven across Texas at some time. That's probably later. And I confirmed it was big. But not quite, almost as boring as driving through Nebraska, but just longer. So that's what I can think of off the top of my head.
That's off the top of your head. All right. It's really interesting, actually. So the third question is, how was the education system back then, and what were your experiences in it?
I was fortunate to be in upper middle class neighborhood. We had good, very good schools. We had generally disciplined students. Not being unruly in classes was unheard of. So in grammar school, I think I did quite well. Was fortunate. I stayed in public schools all through college. I was fortunate that they built a new high school in our district just before I got to high school. So I was the first class that spent all 4 years in that high school. And so it was a new school with new teachers. There was new energy in the school from the faculty and the staff. And I think I got a very good high school education. Had a lot of smart friends that made a good part of, I guess what I'd say is the reason it's important to go to a good school to get a good education is that you have good students and competitive students, then you are competing against smart people, which will drive you to work harder. And you learn as much from competing with other students as from the quality of the teachers or the quality of the school. So I think that helped me to get a good education, which meant I had no trouble getting into University of California at Berkeley, even though it was a very competitive school to get into. And from there, I went to graduate school at Harvard, which is a pretty good school we generally hear. So I think I was lucky, fortunate. A good part of it was from coming from a family that felt that education was important. It was more like getting a top-level education was assumed. It was not a choice. You will go to college, and you will go to a top-rated college, and you will do well. There was no room for negotiation. It was just expected. So that's, that came from